Hi, I'm Catherine Galligan, and I believe that love is the most important thing, not only in the world, but in the whole universe. I created the Love to You All podcast as a platform to offer the wisdom and inspiration necessary for us to create a world where love is the guiding force. Together, we can release the protective barriers that keep us from giving, receiving, and fully embodying love. Join me and my guests as we explore the many ways to be the love for our world longing for change, peace, and hope. I believe it's my soul's mission to inspire the courage you need to be the most loving frequency you came here to be in this lifetime. I'm so glad you're here because we have got a world to change. Hello, and welcome back to Love to You All. I am Catherine Galligan, your host, and today I'm really delighted to share a conversation with you that I had with Jen Cunnings. And our conversation was about removing the barriers we have to love. So Jen is an energy healer, an intuitive coach, but she prefers to call herself an alchemist, meaning she is very good at discerning and intuiting what as humans we hold in our bodies, like the densities, trapped emotions, limiting beliefs, and she helps alchemize those back into our pure state, which is love. So naturally, I'm, you know, very grateful to have her as a guest. And beyond that, I'm super fortunate just to be able to call her a friend. So Jen has been in her line of work well over 20 years at the time of this recording. And it's actually how I became acquainted with her in the first place, was as a client. And then now she's like a sister. I've traveled far and wide with her to various sacred sites across the globe. And usually it's for one of the special transformative retreats that she hosts with her partner, Darlene. But I'm, you know, huge fan of Jen, and I'm really so blessed to know such a special woman who you'll get to hear for yourself, who is just so loving and a very gifted healer. And, you know, at the time of this recording where we live, there had been a tornado warning the day before. And so it was like really windy, like uncharacteristically windy. And we were discussing how, you know, the next day and the aftermath of that, we both were feeling kind of tenderhearted, like almost like a hangover, because the crazy weather, like in our environment, metaphorically, it like had an impact on our internal environments. And basically, it was almost like that dumb, almost tornado, like excavated old wounds of our own that, you know, had been conveniently buried. And, you know, when that happens, we all have a choice. Like it happens to all of us. And we can either avoid it and self-soothe and stuff those uncomfortable emotions back down, or we can recognize them and alchemize. And the thing is, you know, it's typically an uncomfortable process. So we were both like uncomfortable at the time of this recording, but, you know, we marched through it. And, you know, knowing that, you know, when you do that, it not only leads to growth, but it returns us to love. And I have to say, like by the end of the conversation, I felt so much more open to love. Like at the beginning of it, I was kind of feeling like I was stuck in the sludge of all my stuff. But, you know, it was powerful and really neat to see how that happened for the both of us. And I do want to share a quote just in case you haven't heard it before. And this was said by Rumi. Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. And I want you to know that Jen brings this up in our conversation, and it's on her website. It's her driving force. It's like the most powerful words that she kind of lives by and has built her career around. So I'm very excited for you to hear our conversation. We cover a lot of ground. And ultimately, what I hope you find within this episode is, you know, how we're all in this love movement together. And sometimes, you know, it's not easy. But at the end of the day, we are all love at our essence. We just have to uncover it. So thank you so much for listening to this. And I hope you enjoy our conversation as much as I did. Hello, Jen Cunnings. Welcome to Love to You All.
Thank you, Catherine Galligan. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you by calling me by my last name. No, I'm so grateful that you're here. Thank you, truly. Because, you know, Jen and I were just having a conversation before we pressed the record button about how sometimes we're not always feeling it, you know? We're in our own healing journeys, and it can feel intense at times. And lately, you know, things have been feeling kind of intense for a variety of reasons. And so, Jen, are you interested in maybe sharing a little bit about what's going on for you, maybe personally, or, you know, if not that, what you're seeing in your line of work? And so maybe just start right there. Like, what do you tell people that you do when people are like, hey, what do you do for a living? What do you tell them?
Yeah. Words never seem quite appropriate, but I use the words, you know, intuitive healing coach, you know, yes, energy healer, but basically an alchemist is probably my favorite word, because I'm really good at discerning and feeling and intuiting what we're holding in our bodies, what densities, mm-hmm, trapped emotions, limiting beliefs, and alchemizing them back into our pure state of love.
Our pure state of love.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Glad we got that word early on in the conversation.
In there.
Yes. And so I love how you explain that our natural state is love. And we're all just trying. I mean, that's the journey. That's the whole path that we're on. We're just trying to return to that default state.
Exactly. Yeah.
So tell me what you're seeing right now, just with your clients, because you've told me in the past, like it'll kind of run in themes. You know, you'll get like several people in a row and they're all sort of dealing with the same thing, and it's just no coincidence. And so what is happening right now?
Well, and again, like you said, it's where what I perceive or what I'm aware of in myself starts reflecting in my sessions, and it starts reflecting in, you know, I'll see the bigger themes that are happening, which are probably happening at a bigger scale. But what's been coming up is some pretty deep core stuff. There's been a lot around where there's been a lack of nurturance, and that, mm-hmm, makes us feel unsafe. That typically correlates to our inner child, our childhood wounds. And ultimately, it affects our sense of being ourselves, because we don't feel fully confident. It affects our money. We were talking about our abundance. Mm-hmm. It affects our just feeling like we're safe and held, and that there's the tornado alarms are going off.
I can hear them. Do you need to go run for cover?
No.
Do you know the sirens actually went off for us yesterday morning?
So ours did it. And I walked outside, and this has never happened before. I walked outside, my lawn furniture, my couch, my chairs were completely across the yard. One of my bigger, heavier, like wicker chairs that's heavy.
Yeah, it's heavy.
All the way into the pool.
Wow. Yeah, so, it was a strong one.
So what's kind of interesting that you brought that up, because I asked myself, when things like that happen, like, what is that showing me? And based on what I've been aware of with the themes, it's like there is a lot of chaos in the world right now.
Right.
And that reflects our own inner, you know, where things don't feel peaceful, things don't feel settled, things don't feel safe. And so I was really aware of how, like, my lawn furniture, 20 feet normally from where it sits, had been thrown across my yard. And no sirens went off then, by the way. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. No, I'm glad this is coming up too, because yesterday was so incredibly, so the morning started with the tornado sirens, and it really did seem possible, like one was going to happen. You know, like when you go outside and it's warm and the sky is a funny color, like that's what was going on. And the whole rest of the day was rather windy, like so incredibly windy. Like I felt unsafe driving my car.
Yeah.
And do you want to know how I personally handled that? Because I was discombobulated, as my mom would say, as all get out. I mean, wild in my mind. I went to the grocery store and bought chocolate and came home and ate it like a bit like that. That was my form of self-soothing. And I'm like, okay, this is not healthy. Like it actually showed me, how am I going to handle chaos? Am I going to handle it in a way that kind of perpetuates my strength and resiliency? Or am I going to find some coping mechanism that is not beneficial? And yesterday, I'm going to put that in the not beneficial category. And so I'm like, okay, wow, that's really not how I want, you know, things to be.
Yeah, and I think it's when you're exposed to something chaotic, it gives you that opportunity to see like, oh, am I in my center? Am I feeling safe and grounded and knowing that, you know, my favorite thing is like, well, I'm an infinite eternal being. So at the end of the day, like, even if I die tomorrow or right now, like, I'm still all okay. And yeah. Yet, you know, it brings up our stuff. And I think
it brought up my stuff and I ate chocolate.
Yeah. And, you know, that's what we do, is we find ways to self-soothe, you know, like if we're not feeling safe, what did we do as kids to self-soothe, right? We don't feel comfortable in our environment. We're feeling unsure of ourselves. We're feeling, you know, just that sense of insecurity. And so we develop all of these ways to self-soothe, right? For you, it was chocolate. But for most of us, it could be avoidance, right? Like things that, you know, I'm going to eat the chocolate, drink the wine, you know, do the things to distract, right, or watch TV.
Right.
It's just all forms of not feeling comfortable to feel our feelings.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Which for me was fear. It was just good old fashioned fear. And so I did eventually snap out of it. Like first what I did is I confessed that to somebody, you know, I was on a group chat, you know, and I'm like, you guys, I just went and bought a bunch of sweets. And they're like, enjoy yourself. I'm like, yeah, okay. But I changed my plans for the rest of the day and kind of hunkered down and got to a place where I felt just safe inside myself, you know? So I'm not, you know, I wasn't proud of my initial decision per se, but it's just so interesting because I didn't think yesterday the weather was any coincidence at all. It wasn't just reflective of a lot of our own personal inner chaos that we're experiencing. It's reflective of, on a really grand scale, a lot of change is happening to the point where I think it's like go down in history level type. That's a coming or is happening now. And it's just, it's unearthing, like a tornado does, right, our stuff.
Yeah.
And so then we just make sure we have your number so we can call you and you can, you know, do all of your intuitive energy alchemizing.
I've been calling it excavating, like deep excavations of our primal fear, deep excavations of the places that we've held in our body where we don't feel safe. And like you said, there's so much change and so much chaos that is igniting, or rather unlocking and activating the fear that we already hold within us.
Yes.
Right. We wouldn't feel fearful if we didn't already have that fear inside of us. Right. Because it's not actually happening. There's nothing actually happening to jeopardize our current state of security in this moment. Like, we're not under a missile attack. We're not under gunfire. But if we turn on the news or we're aware of what's happening, then it's reflecting back all of our fear.
Yes.
And so then we get to choose, like what you did yesterday. Sure, have the chocolate. And then, like, oh, let me self-soothe myself in a way where I can feel a little more comfortable, or, do some meditation or do some breath work or do something that I know is going to help my body discharge the fear that's being activated by my external circumstances. Yeah. Like my kiddo went out into the wind, same thing, like it was after the, yard blew up. Then my kiddo went outside because some friends popped by unexpectedly, but we were still getting these like 50 mile an hour wind gusts.
Gusts,
And he was like talking about walking down the street to see these friends. And I was like, oh, hell no. Like back in the house, but I could feel my body, go into this like fear state, And so it's like, all right, there's a little bit of attention that needs to happen. Like there's these parts of me that are kind of waving a flag saying like, I need your comfort. I need your nurturance. I need you to give me the attention so I feel safe again. So I feel comforted and nurtured.
A lot of people say that the opposite of love is fear. Is that, would you agree?
I do. And I would probably expand that, but that feels like it's closest polarity, right? Because I think fear is one of the strongest things that I would say it's the strongest thing that pulls us out of love. But my favorite quote, Catherine, Rumi says, it's not our job to seek for love, but to seek and find all the barriers we've built against it. Well, that's comprised of fear, but it's also comprised of shame. It's also comprised of guilt. It's also comprised of, other emotions where we don't feel love. And we're human, so we're gonna feel all those things, right? We're gonna have the full spectrum. And I also believe that when we're aware of things like fear, they are like little calls for help from our higher self or our inner child, for instance, that say like, "Hey, we need to bring love into this space. I need you to connect with your body." Where am I holding fear in my body? Where can I allow love in into a place maybe I wasn't allowing love in before?
Damn tornado brought all that up, Jen.
And more.
And more. I do love that Rumi quote. And so it's seeking the barriers that we've built up to love.
Yeah. I feel like my whole life, that's the foundation. That quote is the foundation of my life and my practice, my own personal healing journey, and how I've supported others.
This episode is brought to you by my brand new online membership for women called Emerge. Inspired by the Year of the Snake, Emerge is a very special container for women ready to become not only bigger, expanded versions of themselves, but also the highest frequency you came here to be in this lifetime. If you're ready to live a little bit more out loud and step into your power, Emerge is for you. It is a year-long commitment where every month, like-minded women gather together to become even more powerful. It includes a masterclass, lots of learning, and lots of support. I'm your mentor, and I cannot wait to get started because we're going to have an incredible year together. You can find more information to register linked in the show notes. Until then, I can't wait to see you become part of Emerge.
Like you were saying earlier, there's themes. Like, I don't know that I've ever worked with a client that isn't reflecting something similar that I'm giving attention to in myself. We talked about when we got on here, and there's some similar themes that you and I are addressing, and it's like it's a reminder too, like we're all in this together.
We are. We really are. It's so beautiful too. And it makes perfect sense that you're attracting that, and y'all can both, while you're in the role of the healer, and you're playing the part of, let me help you alchemize this. it's such a mutual exchange, or like almost a quid pro quo exchange of energy, because that person is reflecting back to you the very thing that you're dealing with.
Yeah.
And you both get to do it simultaneously, or, you know, together. It's such a beautiful, that everything that you do is so beautiful, but like, I love it that that gets to happen. Like, I experienced that on some level when I was offering personal retreats at the beach house. It seemed like everybody I attracted was showing me what I personally needed to see in myself,
yeah,
which was super fun.
If that's the word you want to use. Yeah.
Yeah. It, right.
We can look at it now and be like, oh my God, that was so beautiful how that reflected back to me. But like, while you're in it, you're like, ugh, this is uncomfortable and hard and, you know,
well,
challenging.
I know. And let's talk about that, because, you know, everybody, like, I hear this a lot, especially in the circles that we run in, where, you know, we want to expand and be this frequency of love. And that's all fine and great, but you're going to have to sludge your way through your own pile of poo to get there.
Right.
And that is not fun at all. And so that the whole growth process and expansion process and, you know, removing these barriers to love, it's so incredibly painful and uncomfortable. I understand why people avoid it. I mean, I understand why I went and bought chocolate. I mean, right. I can shame myself for buying chocolate, but of course I did. You know, it's uncomfortable. Let's put it off for 20 minutes.
And like, when you, now that you can look back and be like, oh, I bought chocolate because I felt unsafe. And then you can like really hold compassion for yourself. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I was just really scared. What, am I going to beat myself up for finding the thing that was bringing me a little relief? Or can I just have a shit ton of grace and compassion for this part of me that was so scared that day, you know?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, thankfully, quite honestly, to what you've taught me over the years is I've started to actually learn how to have grace for myself. And so, yeah, in that moment, I needed my version of a pacifier, you know, like a little right. baby's passy. And, but, you know, yeah, like, hold that little girl, because she was scared, you know, and it's totally okay that, like, you know, I could have been way worse. And, you know, I actually have a history of addiction. And so, you know, I'm not going to get arrested, Jen, for eating some chocolate. Whereas before, I might have been pushing that envelope a little. Yeah.
Well, and I like that you brought that up, like the passy, because, you know, I think there's a lot of interesting themes around, you know, the avoidant behavior, or rather the self-soothing behavior that we do to just not feel the uncomfortable fear. Or what, let's say fear is also, you know, neglect or abandonment or, you know, whatever uncomfortable emotion. And so, you know, in this society, we've really been conditioned to avoid all that, right?
Yeah.
So I was joking the other day, also back to the themes, like there's just been so much inner child work coming up these past few weeks with this part of us that feels unsafe. So I was telling somebody the other day, I'm like, well, my first self-soothing addiction was my thumb, because it was right here. And then the second was food, right?
Okay.
Sweets, chocolate. And then as I got older in high school, cigarettes, and then pot, and then alcohol.
That was a very nice progression.
Yeah. So it'd probably be a little better if I went back to my thumb, right? but when I was able to see that, like, then I got out, it was, you know, took a minute to get out of the judgment of maybe the self-sabotaging behaviors, because what I was really just looking for was self-soothing and nurturing. Right.
Yeah.
And I just moved on from the thumb.
Good job. Good job. Hey, by the side note, by the way, I've not moved on from the thumb, evidently, because when I've told you this, right? When I was in the deepest, darkest part of an ayahuasca journey, and I only did the one, I was told that I was in the fetal position sucking my thumb, which I mean, I was conscious of it. I remember doing that. But I wasn't really aware that other people were watching me. I was on my side on the ground in the fetal position, sucking my thumb and rocking.
That,
because I, in my own mind, it was like my own hell of like what I was, you know, what I was working on at the time. Mm-hmm. And that, and I was totally soothing myself, going way back to my roots of infancy. Yeah. Of like, you know, what can I do to make myself feel better during this extremely uncomfortable moment? Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I'm not, as a 51-year-old woman, I'm not above that. Just want you to know.
You know, I might try my thumb out one more time as a
just give it a try. You know, yeah, if you find yourself in that situation, I give you permission.
Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome.
Well, you know what's interesting bringing up the Aya is when I did my one-time journey as well, I was given a mantra when I started off, and it was only love lives here. And so when
That's really nice.
It was beautiful. But what it did, it was back to love being the alchemist, the healer. So as things were coming up in my body, as I was going through awarenesses of densities and, you know, energies that needed to heal and clear, I could feel them come into my body. I could feel heaviness. I could feel fear. I could feel, you know, not feeling supported by my parents. I could feel darkness from my lineage, all this stuff. And I would just allow it to come up, and I would just keep saying like, only love lives here. And then eventually I could feel it move out of my body. And then another round would come up. And so it was just this like whole alchemy session of, you know, what needed to heal, and then calling in the love, reaffirming only love lives here. And then my body would release it. And it was just like, you know, I did that for hours.
Right. But that is a beautiful, what a wise shaman that gave you that mantra.
No. That was the Aya that gave me the mantra.
Oh, okay.
Grandmother. Okay. Yeah. Grandmother said, as I began my journey, like, here you go, sister.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. I love mm-hmm. that it speaks to that wisdom. How I got out of my little, you know, thumb sucking, rocking, was breathing. It's so embarrassing to say too, by that point, having been a yoga teacher for 10 years, that what I learned, my biggest takeaway from that experience was the most beautiful thing I have is my breath. The saving, like what saved me, and it really did feel like it saved me in that moment, was my breath. And I fell in love with my breath. And I it felt like hours that I just sat there and breathed, you know, and I'd like listen to myself breathing, you know, like, ah. Was so wonderful. What a gorgeous mantra that you received. Like, well, I think we all could use that now.
Yeah. And the breath, to me, they're both gifts that were given to us in those moments where we were facing some of our poo, some of our wounds.
It was poo. All right.
Yeah. And then that's the cool thing too. I think what, you know, whoever's listening to this right now, like, we're going to face our poo. It's going to come up. You cannot run. You cannot hide. It is not easy. It is not easy. And it is super fucking uncomfortable. Am I allowed to say that? Sorry.
You totally are.
And so, but that you have love. You have your breath, right? You have the ability to meet these parts of yourself with love. And that's that alchemization of shifting these harder things that we've accumulated and experienced and endured and, you know, ultimately repressed and trapped and back into love.
Yeah. You know, it was empowering in its way because it taught me also that of my own like sense of sovereignty, like my tools were not exogenous to me. They weren't external to me. Like, I'm not going to find the solution outside of me.
Yes.
I was the solution.
And it was actually something rather simple. It's like quite the open secret, you know, breathe to feel calmer. But I think that and love too. Like, I think we look for love externally.
Yeah.
You know, outside of ourselves. Like, we want someone to do it for us. Do you know? And then all those things start happening, like seeking validation or codependency or, you know, fill in the blank. Right. When we forget that we are, like, in our most natural default state, that is what we are. We just have to remove the barriers, as Rumi so wisely wrote.
And I think most of us, I'd be interested to see if anyone's listening to this and, you know, has gotten to the place where they aren't seeking love outside of themselves in some way. You know, I think that, like, it is a very profound journey to, we can acknowledge it intellectually, like, right, like, as you're saying that, it resonates in my body. Like, as you're saying, like, love exists within me. I know this to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I'm going to reach for the chocolate, or I'm going to reach for, you know, a phone call because I don't feel safe within myself, or I don't fully feel love in myself. But that's the beautiful kind of paradox of it, is that it is all inside, right?
Yeah.
Like, and so that's kind of part of the unwinding. It's like, I don't require anything outside of myself. It is all here. It is all within me. And, you know, like, when we go to healers and things like that, because sometimes it's just really challenging for us to get there on our own.
Yes.
It's so beautiful to receive support. And yet there will be, I think, a time, you know, if you're kind of doing your work on this spiritual journey, like, where, like, okay, I can, you know, maybe 95% of the time, really, really, you know, self-source love, self-source healing or soothing or whatever is needed. But I think it takes a minute to get there.
It takes a minute. And I'm very much in support of the outside healer, you know, and having access to people like you. You know, and it's not even just the one-on-one work that you do in your sessions, like the retreats that you've, all the retreats of yours that I've attended so far, which has been quite a few. Like, I feel like I would like a gold star, please, for
attendance.
Frequent flyer. Okay, I'm a frequent flyer. I like that. And
you will get your bonus awards.
Like, cash in the points. And my heart, it's like, it's cracked open a little more, like, if I looked back and it's like, well, what happened at each retreat? Because every single one had its own theme, you know, like you had an 11-11 retreat, you know, like new beginnings, and, like, you know, the, like, a throat chakra retreat, that all of them have in some way or another removed a barrier to love. And it's so powerful. The power of a healing retreat like that is, I wish everybody could do it. And they can, you know, there's all ranges, right?
Right.
So you have a retreat. You actually have two coming down the pike. Are your intentions for them different? Do you mind just talking about the both of them?
The one that's coming up next, May 1st, is called the Rainbow Retreat. For two reasons. It's actually in Rainbow, Texas, but the second reason is it's why we had that chat. It's about, like, really tuning and activating our rainbow light body, our crystalline light body. What does that mean? Well, like, let's bring the love conversation back in. Like, when we're in our highest state of love, like, we are able to really embody, like, our soul in a more profound way in this human experience. And so, you know, we have accumulated eons of trauma and wounds. We have accumulated a lot of density. And if you don't believe you're carrying that around right now, you know, look at the landscape, right? It's happening out in the world. And so we're each here to kind of do our own individual work. So with that said, related to the retreat, it's like we were guided, my partner, Darlene, Owen, and I were guided to create the circumstances and the container in this retreat where we are going to optimize being able to really activate our highest frequency, our soul light body. And so it's supporting, we'll be doing some clearing and purification to make room for that. But we've brought in many facilitators like yourself to bring through sound and to work with water and to work with light codes and light language that are here to unlock and open and activate our natural divine blueprint in the most profound way. So the retreat's really designed to facilitate, amplify, accelerate the process that's already underway.
It's already underway.
Right. So whether you know it or not, you are already transitioning into a crystalline light body, right? Your body is already changing and clearing and purifying and releasing densities. And the what we were given as far as, you know, kind of given by spirit is to really support the acceleration of that in this container.
Mm-hmm.
And sound and light codes and things like that are really powerful catalysts to assist with that.
Yeah.
In addition to the body movement and the energy work that's going to help the purification and the release of things that would.
Yeah. It sounds like you're tackling it from a lot of angles.
Mm-hmm.
The need for purification, that is, like what are the different things that we can bring in to make sure we're really thorough and giving all the attendees the opportunity to access this, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It's like you talk about with your five, is it called the five bodies? The five bodies, right. So we've got Catherine Galligan on board who's, you know, your food always facilitates the ability to shift energy. It's clean, it's created with love, and then supporting us with some body movement, you know, and because we want to, you know, sometimes I think when we get into these spiritual, I don't know, like gatherings or whatever, there can be a lot of like spiritual bypassing. And
yeah,
we gotta knock that shit out, right? Like,
right.
We have to do this in our bodies. So yeah. It requires a lot of physical attention. You know, for many, many years, I was under the false belief, you know, like our body is just this meat suit and we're going to leave it. So it doesn't matter. And that was just the furthest thing from the truth. Our bodies are actually divine, holy vessels. Our bodies are actually like divinity in form. And I love that.
Say it again. Our bodies are
divinity in form. And this realization is really just sinking in with me now. So it's kind of like, it's a little bit new and I'm still receiving this, but I've just been getting messages that, you know, like my body is the key to remember that my divinity is not outside of myself. It is here. It is mm-hmm. already in my physical vessel. And there's so much, what's the word? Like there's so much separation from our bodies, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We override our bodies. We judge our bodies. We have, you know, a whole culture that, you know, tells you your body is wrong. And so I was like, oh my God, my body is the key to my freedom and remembering that my body is divine already in its state. But I already have awarenesses of the parts of me that don't believe that to be true.
Okay.
Right. So like a part of me really knows that.
Yes.
Right? Knows it at that level. And then I know that I've got beliefs and thoughts from my past that's a bunch of bullshit because my body's, you know, too fat or it's not enough or it's not what it should be or whatever that is that disconnect me from my divinity, right? My judgment of my body disconnected me from my divinity.
Right.
So anyway, that's all kind of new.
It's really coming in.
But, and so coming back to the retreat is like, I'm really acknowledging, yeah, we need these light codes. Yeah. We need the sound. Yeah. We need to activate through visualization, through journeys, through spiritual practices, through breath, active in our light bodies, but we have to really be connected to the physical body and come into a place like from that perspective. So it's really the holistic picture, right? We're dealing with the physical, mental, emotional, energetic, spiritual.
I love it. I love all this about the body because I remember when I was first kind of like getting into that, my own understanding and my own journey with like energy healing and spiritual work. And it didn't seem like there was a lot of talk about the body.
Right.
Do you know? Mm-hmm. And I remember even like a spiritual guru telling me, like he smoked cigarettes. And I'm like, I don't understand how it is that you can smoke cigarettes. And he's like, well, my body doesn't matter. Right. He's like, you know, what matters is my spiritual consciousness kind of thing. And so I can do whatever I want to my body. And I'm like, okay. And so like, you know, as sort of like a wet behind the ears, like, you know, just new in this like spiritual world. And I'm like,
yeah,
it's like, okay, something intuitively doesn't sit right about that, but okay, kind sir. And I have really found my body like as such a gift to me. And before we've talked about this before, like I found my body to be like annoying, you know, or it's like, I don't know that we could really, that's like its own episode. I feel like
right.
I'm really so grateful to know that like at this particular retreat, like there's going to be a lot of attention to the physical body. And I, you know, like right now I'm in this, it's like my professional life, my so-called professional life. I'm in this like coaching container and my teacher is actually quite spiritual. And so like, she's an entrepreneur business whiz, but at the same time, she's super spiritual. And it's why I chose her. Mm-hmm. But she, when she found out that I was doing sit-ups in the morning, which is so crazy because I like doing sit-ups as much as I like going to the dentist, you know, yeah. And that I started doing them. Like I just felt inspired to do it. And I make my routine is pretty easy. Okay. So don't get too excited, but she was so excited about that because in her mind, it's like when you empower your physical body, then you empower everything. And so how you show up in your business world is going to be, it's going to mirror whatever you're doing in your physical life. And so, and I've always believed that, and I feel like it's just getting reaffirmed and confirmed, you know, with the world around me. And I believe it to through and through, and I've yeah. seen it work. Yeah.
Yeah. I know you know this, but I was, you know, guided to go back to the gym and begin strength training last year.
Yeah.
And it really shifted so much for me. And I can see the correlation because I was away traveling in Spain for most of first part of February. And then I got sick. So I wasn't able to go to the gym for right. 4 weeks. And so I went back last week just once. And then this week, but I can really sense the correlation of the attention that I give my physical body, whether that's strength training or working out or, you know, walking in the
water.
Floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like just we need to give attention to all those layers, all those bodies. Right.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us, when we get on the spiritual path, I know I'm one of them, you know, negate the body. Mm-hmm. And the body is no less divine than, you know, like if we're having spiritual journeys out into higher dimensions and communicating with, you know, angels and beings, it's not, our body isn't any less divine than that.
I love that. It's so beautiful. It's not any less divine than that.
Yeah. And that's, again, that's something that I know, but I am still processing, receiving, integrating, you know.
It's a process. It is. No, it's definitely a process. But you know what it does kind of remind me of something else I wanted to ask you. And just like our, you know, our relationship with our body and thinking that as a female, especially, that our bodies are impure. Mm. And so what I want to ask you is, do you feel like, is that what kind of put you on this path to want to create a retreat in Southern France around Mary Magdalene? And could you just speak to that for a little bit? Like, do you think there is like a tie-in there, because I know that I'm going on that retreat and I don't know what to expect. It feels a little, it feels big, Jen, but it does feel like this final frontier for me for fully embracing and embodying being a woman.
Yeah. So much. we talked about before coming on today, like this retreat's been a real challenge for me to talk about because it feels so beyond my understanding. Mm-hmm. So I'll start there.
I would like to take a moment and extend an invitation to you to join me for a retreat I am attending as a participant this September in the south of France. This is the Sacred France Retreat hosted by two very spiritual women, Jen Cunnings and Darlene Owen, who I happen to know. And I want to emphasize that this is more than just a retreat. This is an invitation to open your heart and reconnect with a way of love and be in the energy of the Cathar region of France, which is considered sacred land because it holds the mysteries of Mary Magdalene and the divine feminine. So if you are feeling the call from what I'm saying, I would encourage you to prepare to go deeper into your journey of self-discovery and transformation. The reason why I'm going is because the main intention of the women leading this retreat and why they chose this particular location is to guide those of us who attend toward greater alignment with love. And you know how I feel about that. So look for information about this retreat in the show notes, and I sincerely hope that you join me.
And then I'll start with, I was initially drawn to the southern France because the story goes that Mary Magdalene and these other women left Palestine after the crucifixion to save themselves, to flee.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I personally started having past life memories of myself during that time, and I didn't make it out. I didn't make it over to the boats to land in the south of France. But the way the story goes is that Mary Magdalene continued along with these women her teachings of the way of love. And that really is what, when we talk about Jesus or Yeshua, he was teaching the way of love, right? Not Christianity. He was teaching, you know, love yourself, love your neighbor.
Yeah.
And if you go back to the core teachings, they're really about love.
Right.
So fast forward, there's, you know, you wonder like, well, why did she end up in the south of France? Well, I don't know, but I understand there's a lot of sacred sites and sacred land there, and mm-hmm. that, you know, the energy of her years for the rest of her life, where she lived, where she worked, where she communed, where she, you know, did her spiritual embodiment practices or whatever she was doing, are connected to the land. And so, again, I have such a challenging time talking about this, because it would happen when we were in Glastonbury, where, you know, I was like, okay, I feel like I need to go to south of France at some point. Mm-hmm. But it was when we were in Glastonbury, and it was our last day there, and we go to this chapel called St. Margaret's Chapel. And there is a connection to Mary Magdalene, and they have like the Mary Magdalene Labyrinth there, and there was a tiny little chapel. And so I'm sitting in this tiny little chapel, and this little girl comes in, and there's these prayer, what do you call it, like kneeling pads at the very top of the little chapel. And
yes, so
this little girl, she must have been like, I don't know, 6, 7.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you see her?
I did. Yeah, she was definitely under 10. Yeah,
yeah.
She's
so
little.
She comes in and kneels down while all the adults, you know, it was very, very small, like maybe 12 chairs alongside. So anyhow, you know, she starts praying over the candles that were lit at the top of the altar. And I'm, mm-hmm. as you know, I am not a religious person, but we were called to go to this chapel because it is connected to Mary Magdalene. Anyway, and so I just start having these awarenesses of like her representing innocence.
Mm-hmm.
And so you talk about impurity, but I think it goes a little deeper than the impurity of our bodies, where we believe in sin, or we right. believe in our inherent wrongness. And we did lose or perceivably lost our innocence, our connection, our love. And so to see this little girl in her purity, in her innocence, like, just broke my heart. And I am like sitting in this chapel just sobbing. And I come out in the yard and you see me and I'm sobbing. So what what I was aware of and is like this loss of innocence, this loss of love within myself.
Mm-hmm.
And because I felt so connected to Mary Magdalene in that chapel and that little girl. Oh, so the little girl's name was Mary, by the way.
Oh.
Her guardian comes in and is wearing roses on her sweater. And it's, Mary, are you done yet? She's like, no. And then she continued to like pray over the candles. So it was walking out of there and I'm in this, you know, huge emotional shifting experience. I was like, we have to go to South of France. Like, we are being okay. called there.
Okay.
And so that's how it began.
That's how it hit you.
Yeah. And what to expect when we're there. Like, so because I've never been there, I found a guide, and this guide, her name is Angelique, and she lives at the Rennes Le Chateau, which is a sacred site in the Cathar region, which is a whole nother conversation. But I'll just say that, like, if you feel like your heart needs to open a little bit or a lot, like if you yes. feel your heart is closed down at all, or you feel that there's a greater capacity for you to open your heart to love and to restore that pure sense of innocence within yourself, like, that would be one reason you might attend this retreat.
Well, I don't know that I could have put that language to it, but yes. Like, yes, please. And yeah, that it's what I want. I mean, I think my ego is enormous. Like, my ego thinks that I'm compassionate and loving, that if you could hear like my own inner critic, you know, and like the self-talk that I do is pretty negative. And a lot, you know, just a lot of my behaviors and actions are around seeking validation, if you will, like, so that I feel good about myself. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I know that, and I'm aware of it, but it doesn't mean that it's gone away.
Right.
So, and I don't think, you know, oh, well, if I go to the South of France, then that'll go away. But it will, like, there's something for me there to crack that open. And so I know that I'm not fully cracked wide open. And, you know, now, you know how I have a thing for people who have had near death experiences, and I really like hearing their stories, because what I like about it is they all come back and they're like, the love that you feel is shocking. Like, they can't even describe, they can't describe that type of love. They just can't. And so that is so not what I feel. Do you know? Like, I don't feel like I'm walking around giving off some shocking feeling of love to people. I don't even think it's an ego statement to say that I want to do that for people. Like, I want to return to that natural state. Like, I want to be in that. I know that's true for me, that I'm still stuck in all of my whatever constructs and barriers that I've built up. And so, you know, just little by little, I'm stripping it away, but there's more for me, for sure. For all of us.
And I like that you use the word judgment, because somebody else, I don't know who, so I can't, but they were talking about near-death experiences and, you know, that profound love. And what they said was, it is love, but why people are so shocked by it is because there's zero judgment.
Yes.
And I was like mind blown. Like, what if, like, what, you know, like, oh my gosh. And so, like you said, that inner critic, that inner, you know, shit talker that is judging ourselves all the time.
Yeah.
Or judging others for that matter. Like, we can easily see where there's a barrier to love when there's judgment. And then, and so if you start to think about that, how many judgmental thoughts do you have about yourself a day or somebody else or the news or whatever? And I was like, and if all those judgments are your barriers to love, you're like, oh, holy shit. I got work to do.
Yeah, I'm actually going to be quite busy for the next little while here.
and you know, I think there's land, there's retreats, there's connections to places that help us to not just like clear a barrier at a time, but to like take down eons of, you know, where there's been that separation from love. And that's, you were talking about the power of retreats earlier. That's the power of the retreat. Like a container gets created. I don't create it. Darlene does. I mean, we kind of create it, but like,
the
universe kind of creates it for us. And once you've decided to sign up and step into the retreat, you're in that container and, you know, there's going to be some movement. There's going
to
be some
You're bound to have to walk through some of your poo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And be connected in a more loving way.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Your retreats are awesome, but they're hard sometimes. And there's something, I've heard you say this, there's something magical about day three.
Yeah.
Like by the third day, that's when everybody's just like in it.
It's like it is not always easy, but you know, the cool things, we get to travel and have fun and
they're so much fun. Otherwise I wouldn't go back. Like it was just awful.
But, you know, in order to like return to that love, you got to break down a lot of dense structures. Like, you know, it's like any kind of construction. Like let's say you're going to level your house and build a new house. It's going to take some time to level that house.
Yes.
Right? It's going to take time to dismantle these old ways, these structures, belief systems, wounds, you know, limiting thoughts, judgmental thoughts, unloving experiences. It's a lot to break down when you look at it, you know?
Yeah.
And so, so the retreats always kind of feel like, kind of like ayahuasca, like you're going in there and doing some of the heavier lifting, right? Of the bigger work.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and similarly, you know, when you sign up to do plant medicine, for example, a good shaman, I think at least, will say, will warn you, like your work is going to start now.
Right.
And so it's like, as soon as somebody decides, hey, okay, I'm going to go on this sounds neat. A little history is involved, a travel to Europe, you know, this is going to be great.
Right.
And so, but what they don't know is like, the work is going to start for them before they get there. It'll intensify while they're there. And then it'll continue to integrate after they've gone home.
Yeah.
And so it's not confined to like the dates of the retreat at all.
And that's why we do gatherings via Zoom
leading
before every retreat to assist in the preparation so that it is a little more easeful during the retreat.
Right.
Yeah. Cause we can do some of that dismantling before we actually get there.
Yeah. So it's not all just muck and grime or something like that. Yeah.
It's intense for some people, you know, it can be intense to let some of that go. And like, I think one of my jobs here as a human, as a soul in this body is to, you know, assist people in alchemizing that. And so it's just part of it, right? It's part of that experience.
You do a fine job. Do you feel like that's your calling? I've never asked you that before. Do you think?
I don't know if I would say calling, but I would say it is one of my, you know, gifts.
Yes.
We all have that gift, side note. But one of my purposes is to transmute energy from one state to another, back to life.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I'm really good at it.
Yes, you are. No, you are.
I don't know if it's a purpose or a calling, but it's something that I do, you know, when I work with clients and, you know, in our retreat containers. And yeah, I'll own it because I'm good at it.
I'm glad.
I've been doing it a long time.
You have. I'm glad to hear you own that. So how do people find you? Are you on Instagram or just jencummings.com? Like, what's the best way to, if people are listening to this and they want to maybe look into this retreat. I mean, both of them are going to be amazing in their own right. Or, but even just to work with you, because people can work with you virtually. It's not like you have to be in person.
Yeah. So JenKennings.com is the website. And yeah, Instagram, Jen Kennings, and then Facebook, Jen Kennings. So
way to be consistent.
Way to be consistent. Yeah. Marie Forleo taught me years ago, like, if you come up with a company name, like, you might get tired of that in 10 years or 5 years, you know? Like, so, so just stick with your name because that doesn't change. Well, of course, my married name is a Kennings.
I know. I wasn't sure how to introduce you because you have a different last name.
Yeah.
No. Well, that was sage advice, Marie Forleo. Thank you. little Missy. Because, yeah, I've been Ayurveda Catherine. You know, I've been the yoga studio's name. And, like, yeah, I'm finally Catherine Galligan, if people ever want to find me. So
I didn't know that. I'm so glad to know that. Yeah. And isn't that, you're right, because, like, so much of your practice and, you know, what you offer has changed so much. So, yeah, it's like, let's just stick with your names. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I keep changing too. So it's like, feels like a moving target that, yeah. So hopefully the essence is the same. Oh, I have so enjoyed this conversation with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for enlightening us.
Thanks for encouraging me to do the podcast today. For those of you who are still listening, like, I was like, I don't know if we should do it. I'm going through all this stuff right now and I'm going to cry.
I know. Like,
let's do it.
Well, yeah, yesterday I was knee deep in chocolate. So, you know, here we are. We did it. It's the energy of the conversation and we're both just moving towards more love and more light. And so I can't imagine a better gift to the world. We're doing it. All right, my friends. Well, truly, thank you so much for being willing, you know, especially considering the circumstances. and I keep meaning to do with people and I keep forgetting. I might just forget. But, you know, one thing I wanted to try to ask everybody who joins me is who would be really surprised if you told them right now that you love them? Like, who would that, is there somebody out there that you would want them to know that?
The first word that came to my mind was my father.
No, you know, for me, it's like my mom.
Yeah, and my mom. Yeah, I would say both my parents, even though, like, I tell my mom I love her, and my dad and I are estranged, but, like, you know, but everybody else, I don't know, I feel like, over the years, I have just, like, I really feel, not just to say I love you, but to actually, like, you know, feel and say, like, I don't think there's anybody that I can, yeah, that I'm like, I don't love you. Like, I love you. I love you. I do.
Yeah, you write it in my text to me.
I do. And I mean I appreciate it. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. I feel it. Okay, good. We're sending out love to your father then in that case. That's awesome.
And everybody who's listening.
Oh, yeah.
Big waves of love.
Yeah. They need to take the title of this podcast quite literally because I do. I mean it.
I know you do. Yeah, I do. That's why I love it. I love this title. And thank you so much for having me. It was lovely.
You are so welcome. Okay, Jen, next time, because there will be a next time.
I hope so.
Okay. Bye, my friend. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Love to You All. If you're enjoying this show, please share it with someone who you know would benefit. That would mean the world to me. And another fantastic way to support the show is by leaving a positive review and a rating. It just takes a minute. It would make a huge difference. I hope this message reaches as many people as possible. I really appreciate your support. And so until next time, so much love to you all.